Type Podcast.
Here we go. Hello, hello, around the block and around the world. This is where we discuss, debate, and deliberate all things diabetes. Representing Type 2, my name is Dobie Maxwell, usually representing Type 1, the vivacious, effervescent, and always in the know, Miss Sammy Parker, is off today. She is on assignment. Joining me in her place, Type 2, the lovely, the talented, the always in the know as well, Miss Donna Cross. Hey, Donna.
Hi, Dobie. How are you?
It is a blast to have you back on. You were a great guest when you were on JMT before, and now we're a co-host. We're going to be diving into Type 2. No offense to Sammy. Type 1 is her own world, and that's her expertise. But you and I have a different viewpoint in the diabetes world, and we're going to share that today.
That sounds really good. I believe that Type 1 and Type 2, they do overlap in some way. So I feel that this will even benefit even Type 1 in some way or another.
You know, I think the whole thing is knowledge and education.
Yes.
And I know I learned working with Sammy that type 1 is different. I learned a lot about that. So hopefully type 1's listening will learn about type 2. And again, it's not all the same, but there are enough similarities that, you know, diet and exercise and things about depression. We talk about a lot of those subjects. But today we're going to talk about a type 2 exclusive, and that's a reversal, turning type 2 diabetes around. And unfortunately, type 1, you kind of got it for life. Type 2, we are blessed in a way that we can do something about it.
Absolutely right. I've always thought that I've never quite understood that a person living with type 1 is a special person, because not only do they have to deal with being a human being, they also have to be an organ. And I cannot fathom how they do it. I cannot fathom how they cope. It is a mindset that I'll never experience, and I don't ever want to, and I give them props because they are true warriors. It's amazing.
It is amazing. And I think one thing that type 1 and type 2 need is a structure of support, whether that's a family structure. Sometimes that can be difficult, or a structure like a podcast like us. I mean, I don't know what people did before podcasts. Well, it was lonely. We talked to a lot of our guests, and a lot of the people that I meet say, well, you know, I was the only one in my family that had diabetes. And then, you know, how people treat you. We have go back and listen to some past episodes. You know, they tell you what you can eat. Are you sure you can eat that with diabetes? Well, can I see your doctor's certificate? You're not a doctor, but you're telling me what I should be eating. And that can be really frustrating sometimes. And sometimes it's an insult, flat out.
Yes. I think it is all perspective. I think people, for the most part, are well-meaning. However, there is a lot of, let's face it, ignorance. And I'm not talking about negative ignorance, just not a lot of knowledge. And like for me, when I was first diagnosed, Google was my friend. I mean, I Googled everything, because in my family, there's type 1 and type 2, but they were all deceased. I had nobody to talk to. And my brothers and sisters who are still living, they don't have it. So it really was just me. And yeah, Google was my friend. There were no podcasts about it, nothing.
Dead men tell no tales, as they say. No, it's really true. Right. I don't know what people did. I mean, think about in the history of diabetes, which is goes back centuries. Think of the time we have the podcast now, as we record this, 15 years, 10 years, whatever it is. But before that, it's just like, oh boy, fruit basket upset. Wild information, wild west out there with no rhyme or reason. So today, I think we want to offer some encouraging stories, because one thing about you and I, Donna, we have turned our diabetes around. And for type 2s, not everybody does that. So hopefully our stories can help at least encourage your story, sure encourage mine. So let's start with you, ladies first, as they say. Tell your story so listeners, if they haven't heard it before, can catch up on who you are.
Absolutely. Okay. Going way back, in my family, I have type 1 and type 2. My maternal aunt died at 9 years old from osteomyelitis, which basically is an infection in the bone masked by type 1. They didn't know that she even had type 1. And this is back in the 30s. Insulin was not readily available. So she died at 9 years old from that. My maternal grandfather lost both his legs and died at 71 years old. He ended up with adult onset type 1 when he was like 68 years old.
Ooh.
Which was extremely rare. They basically considered LADA diabetes adult onset, but it was extremely rare back then. Type 2, the only person I knew who had it was my father, but it was adult onset. He was like well into his 80s. You know, and that's common. But other than that, I did not know of anybody in my family who had type 2. I also had gestational diabetes with both my pregnancies.
Okay.
So they were high risk. Babies were fine. I was, however, put on insulin during my pregnancies. So I do know the stories about having to inject insulin six times a day. It's not fun.
Let me ask you this, Don. I'm going to interrupt you. What was the feeling that you had when gestationally you heard the word diabetes? It can be a killer. You know, it's a bomb dropped on you. What was your reaction?
I was so frightened because now we're going to go back 22 years now. So things have changed now. But back then, the only way that you could really safely take care of it was just to put insulin in. And they wanted me to put it into my stomach. And I'm like, that's absolutely not going to happen. So I had it injected in my thigh six times a day and painful, hungry. I was put on the Atkins diet back then.
Zero carbs, pretty much, on the Atkins diet.
Zero carbs. And let's face it, you're growing a body inside of a body.
Sure.
And the babies, gratefully, were taking the fat that I had stored in my body and using it to grow. So my first pregnancy, I lost 30 pounds. The baby took it all.
Wow.
The second pregnancy, I only gained 4. So again, babies were healthy. They did what they were supposed to do. But my pregnancy was excruciatingly painful, hungry constantly, and being selfishly, you know, you have your baby showers, you can't eat your sweet, you can't eat your cake, you can't eat do this. That's selfish. But it still kind of affects you mentally. Like, really? Why are all these women glowing? They have these great pregnancies. They gain anything they want. They eat anything they want. And then there's me. What the heck did I do? Why is this happening to me? And then you start the victim mentality. So it was painful and depressing and all that stuff. So I did not enjoy my pregnancies. And to kick it off even more, I wanted a third child. And the doctor says, absolutely not. Because if you have your third child, there is the diabetes is going to stay with you. In gestational, what happens is when you deliver the placenta, 90% of the time or whatever, the diabetes goes away because that's where it is. It's the placenta can't utilize sugars. Mm. It's really that fault. It's the placenta's fault. But every time you get pregnant, you get more and more of a chance you're going to keep the type 2 or, you know, eventually. And then that's so they said you cannot have a third child, which destroyed me. Then it's like, my fault. Now I can't even have a third kid. So it was not a good time.
For sure, it's not your fault. But let me ask you this. Now, did you deal with an endocrinologist during this time, or was it just your general practitioner or your doctor?
Yes, I had to have an endocrinologist. Mm-hmm. Yes. And along with the OBGYN and along with the nutritionist. So I had a big care team.
But sometimes in that situation, not everybody's on the same page. And that could be, I'm not a woman. I was never pregnant, but I just, you know, from the stories that I've heard, it's like, okay, you have to deal with all these things. Diabetes is hard enough. Pregnancy is hard enough. Endocrinologist is hard enough. So all three of them together and with everything else, it's like, that's got to be overwhelming.
It was extremely overwhelming. I guess you'd have to say, as far as the rest of my history goes, I have been blessed by very smart and kind doctors who thought out of the box. And these people I remember were kind like you'd never believe, and they helped me. And yes, I was overwhelmed, but they helped. So I was very lucky. Let's put it that way.
How was your family through this whole ride? Were they supportive? Did they just basically leave you alone? Sometimes that can be a thing too. Leave you alone, you feel just like you're drifting with no encouragement or rudder.
Well, my husband was great. But I think back then, you know, my family, my immediate family was not in the picture. They didn't even know I was pregnant. So
okay,
they were out of the picture. It was really more my husband's family. And back then, they were still giving out the lavish parties and the this and the that. And they didn't get it. However, I didn't really talk about it much. I kept it to myself. So it's really kind of no fault on their end. I wasn't very vocal about it. I remember having a party for my first child. And I remember there were cookies there and I had one cookie. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm just killing my baby. I just had a cookie. Oh my God. And I had to go went and checked. And then I was low. I was like in the 60s. I'm like, well, yeah. It was very stressful, but I didn't tell anybody.
The Diabetes App is an online community platform that was created to help people living with diabetes find support and information in one spot.
And on the Diabetes app, you can join groups and connect with other people all over the world who are also living with diabetes. I mean, for me, whenever I have a bad day, I find myself scrolling through the mental wellness group just to reassure myself that I'm not alone.
The Diabetes app has a resource section where you can find articles, recipes, tips, and tricks for managing your diabetes. Download the Diabetes app today and connect with us right on the app.
Okay, so let's move ahead. So you had your babies and they're healthy now, correct?
Yes.
All is good?
All is good. Yep, thank God.
They're not diabetic?
They're not diabetic, no.
Beautiful. Now, you got type 2 dropped on you. That's another great story, too. How'd you have that happen?
Okay, so I was diagnosed in April 4th, 2018. However, in 2017, I started experiencing the classic symptoms. So I started experiencing, I had blindness in my left eye. The left eye just lost sight.
That gets your attention, doesn't it?
That got me attention. But as I say all these things, you're going to notice that I was in total denial because I knew deep down I was in trouble, but I didn't want to face it. So even blindness, I was still in denial. So it's very strange. I had the numbness and the tingling in my feet. I had incontinence. That was severe.
Hmm.
And thirst. The thirst was crazy. I've never experienced this. It was like the water that I drank tasted like soda. It was like so delicious and it was voracious and I couldn't get enough of it. But the thirst would just never go away, and dry mouth, and this is awful.
Now, did your husband, obviously he noticed this, did he have anything to say, any input? Hey, you might want to see a doctor. How long did this go on?
So this went on almost a year. So No, he didn't, because I still wasn't vocal. I kind of suffered in silence because I knew what it was, but I didn't go to the doctor. I wasn't ready.
Sure.
And the only thing I remember is I was worrying about my eye, but I was like, well, I'll just go get new glasses. I'm getting old. So the weird thing about it is I went to go get new glasses and then my eye started to come back. And it was like, oh, it's my glasses. It was very strange how the whole thing went. I was totally like no sight. And then it started getting blurry. And then it was clear. It was very, very strange. I just literally didn't talk about it.
It is funny to me how much stronger women tend to be than men. I hate to make generalizations, but it's so true. You're going through all this. You lose your eye. You plug through it a year. For a guy, we get a paper cut. We're in the emergency ward about 5 minutes later. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? It's amazing the mindset. And I have a lot of respect for you and Sammy and other women who just keep plugging. Because losing your eyesight, that's an attention getter.
It's an attention getter. You're correct. You know, and at the same time, while this was going on, we were moving we had a big old colonial. We were downsizing to a condo at the time. And it was June. It was hot. And I'm also in denial and thinking, oh, well, all of these things are related to the fact that I'm moving and it's stressful. And, you know, I need new sneakers. This is why I'm thirsty. It's so hot. I'm working so hard. You know, I just was in denial constantly. So the funny thing was we moved into the condo and literally all the symptoms went away. Gone.
Hmm.
I was like, okay, it's stress.
Were you happy? Were you ecstatic when this happened?
Breathed a sigh of relief, but still in the back of my head going, I don't know if I'm a ticking time bomb or not, but I'm going to just go with this and I'm not going to say a word and we're all going to be hush hush and it's all going to be good. But deep down, I was like, I'm in trouble. I know I'm in trouble.
Uh-huh.
And I was. Easter Sunday was April 3rd, and I binged. I have an eating disorder since around the age of 3, along with major depression and generalized anxiety disorder. So I've had this since around the age of 3 years old. Part of my eating disorder is binging. Sunday, the day before, I binged like I've never binged in my life. For instance, so you have your Easter dinner, and then there's the dessert at the Easter dinner. And then you come back with all the leftovers and then along with literally a tin of sugar cookies. And I remember eating the whole tin of sugar cookies, which must have been, I would say, 2 dozen maybe. And I ate it all. My husband never said a word normally. This time he said, gee, you ate all those. Interesting. So, which he just never did. So the next morning, I went to work, didn't feel well. And it was around lunchtime and I worked at a middle school and I had to excuse myself. I wasn't feeling well. Went to the bathroom. I started bleeding profusely from the rectum.
Oh boy, that blindness was bad.
Yep. And I said, well, I'm in trouble. Went to the doctor, to the convenient MD, and they said, well, we think you have a bacterial infection in the bladder that may have spread. Let's check your urine. Immediately, I went, uh-oh. They checked my urine. They came back. You're dumping sugar in your urine, Donna. We need to take your blood glucose test. I'm like, here we go. Knew it. And it was 5:10.
Boy, that wasn't the time of day either, was it?
And it was not the time of day. And they said, you're going into coma now. Let's go. So call my husband, take me to the ER, pumped me with fluid to check the status of my pancreas to see, you know, if it was still creating insulin. And it was, because you're pumping fluid, and the more fluid that you pump, if your blood sugar goes down, that means your insulin is still being processed and your pancreas is in good shape. If it kept staying high or went up, then your pancreas died. So I was still producing insulin, heart, lungs, kidneys, good. They said, you have type 2 diabetes, here's some metformin, go see your doctor tomorrow. Thank you, have a good day. Went to the doctor the next day. Yep, you got type 2. But I thought to myself, well, this guy's going to tell me I'm going to be on medication for the rest of my life. But he told me the hopeful words, we're going to get you off these meds. We're going to get this weight off.
Now we're getting someplace. Now I wanted to get to that point in the story so we could turn it around for people listening, because a lot of people have stories that are off the charts. Yours is out there. Mine is out there too. How did you reverse it? Now that's good. The doctor put it in your mind that you could reverse this. I got the same thing with my diagnosis. It's like, okay, you get the bomb dropped on you, but then it's like, okay, but you can have something to do with the reversal. And that, I don't know about you, that motivated me. What happened when you got it? How did you reverse it?
Yeah. When he told me that I had hope, my highest weight, just so you all know, was 339 pounds.
Wow. How tall are you, Donna?
I'm 5'9".
Okay. That's a lot of weight for 5'9".
Yep. He set me up with a nutritionist. She taught me how to read nutrition labels. I started reading total carbs. I tested 5 times a day, fasting after each meal and bedtime. Through testing, I was able to figure out patterns. I figured out that grain of any sort was toxic to my body. I couldn't handle it anymore. So I removed all grain-based carbohydrates, white and whole grain. My body couldn't handle it anymore, so I got rid of them.
So I'm going to stop you there for people listening here. So that would include bread, pasta, what else?
Rice, bread, pasta, anything with a grain, granola bars, baked goods, anything with a grain. Oatmeal.
Man, that's a lot to give up.
It's a lot to give up, but I did it.
Did you find it hard?
Nope. Because immediately, the minute I did it, the weight fell off. It was like magic.
So you started at 339. How long did it take you? Give us some increments just in case someone gets, I mean, obviously everybody's different, but for you, that's a lot of weight to take off.
So 339 pounds was my highest recorded rate and weight. And that was at my first pregnancy doctor's appointment. So from both pregnancies, breastfeeding, being more active, trying to work out, I had gotten myself down to 254, and 254 was my diagnosis of diabetes weight.
Okay.
So in 11 months, I went from 254 to 147.
Wow. Congratulations.
Got off metformin and all drugs.
Now that's a happy ending, but let's get a couple steps before that. So now your exercise process, what was that? I mean, obviously your diet, you got off all the grains. Did you eat 3 meals a day? Did you eat several meals a day? A lot of people have a lot of different information and it gets confusing sometimes.
For me, it was only 3 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, no snacks. I had vegetables, lean meats, and fish, eggs, nuts. I could not eat fruit. That spiked me no matter what I did. Yeah, so basically I couldn't have any more fruit. Grain was gone, processed foods, anything processed sugars gone. So lean meats, lean fish, vegetables, eggs, nuts, cheese, Greek yogurt, all those things, basically just whole foods.
Did you get sick of these things? Because if your diet's limited, obviously, you know, variety is the spice of life. And if you're not getting it, that can be tough.
I guess I'm strange because I'm not sick of it. I'm almost at 5 years. It'll be 5 years next month, and I haven't touched a grain in 5 years.
Wow.
No, I'm not sick of it because I see what it did. And then I started walking every single day, 7 days a week without fail, at least 2 miles a day.
Bingo. Now we're talking on the same page here. It's the walking and the exercising 7 days a week. And again, if you're listening to this and you just got diagnosed, I don't have time 7 days a week, blah, blah, blah. I was like you, fear of diagnosis. And when the doctor said it, he said, you can reverse it. And I said, well, how often should I exercise? He goes, how many days in a week are there? And I said, seven. And he said, that's how many days you potentially could. But even if you did 4 or 5, it's still better than nothing that you were. Now, did you exercise at all? Obviously, if you're 339, you're probably not exercising that much before.
At 339, I did not. But as I said, once when I had the pregnancies and then I delivered the kids and then I nursed them. And then, of course, you're being a little more active because you've got toddlers and you're pushing baby carriages and things like that. Naturally, weight came off. And also in between, I tried to work out. I tried to walk more. I tried that. And it helped. I got down to 254, but it wasn't enough. The damage was still done. But I'm grateful that I at least got there because if I was stayed in the 300s, maybe I'd be in worse place right now.
I think you can pretty much assume that. I'm not a doctor, but I think, you know, to getting the weight off. Now, people around you, obviously, you lost a whole person. Did they notice it? Did you get positive feedback? I would assume you did.
Yes, it was crazy, actually. They're like, what's going on with you? What's happening? You know, that type of thing. And you know, once I started vocalizing what was going on with me, they were amazed. People were starting to listen to me and like, taking my advice here and there. Maybe they started implementing things in their life. And I was like, wow, that's really great. So yeah, it was very positive. And even my kids, especially my son, he'll do the walking now, even himself. So, cause they realize, well, if mom's got this, there's a potential that I'm going to get this. And so even they're adopting some the healthy values and things. And that's really all I care about. My husband really, he's very now into the carb thing too. And I think he's turned paleo now. So he lost weight. So.
Well, it's good that you're spreading the word in a good way. Now, let me ask you about your A1C. If you're 339 and you got, what was your A1C, if you don't mind my.
My fasting blood glucose at diagnosis was 510 and my A1C was 12.3.
I'm sorry. That's probably one of the highest ones I've heard.
Yep. And now I'm consistently at 5.
Good for you.
And I check my blood sugar here and there still. They said I should check it whenever I feel like I need to. So every once in a while, I will, just to see if I'm on track, and I'm still on track. And yeah, still, as long as I keep doing what I'm doing, I've added strength training to my life now, which helps even more because that helps your metabolism, burns more carbs. So I've added that. I drink a gallon of water a day. That helps.
I think your favorite letter in the alphabet is P.
It is.
That's a lot of water.
It's a lot of water.
I'm doing the same thing. I'm just about to start the strength training as well. And I think, you know, and people that are listening, if you're freshly, newly diagnosed, if you're like I was and like 99% of the public, male and female, exercise is not appealing to you. It's like one of those things where you want to lay around, play video games, watch TV, whatever you do. And on paper, that sounds fun. And then you get sluggish and then diabetes happens and a lot of bad things. But pretty soon, I think you're in the trap of it and motion is just something you don't want to do. Then no matter what starts it, if it includes fear of getting the diagnosis, I don't know about you. I got into it. I can't picture my days without walks. As we record this episode, this is day 322. I haven't missed a day of at least 10,000 steps or more. And again, I'm not comparing if you're doing 2 miles, 3 miles. Mine is about 5 miles. Yesterday, I did 7.5 miles.
Wow.
I didn't even realize it. It's one of those things I was talking on the phone. I listen to video, YouTube videos when I'm walking. So it's kind of like part of my day. I return phone calls and people say, "What are you in your office?" I say, yeah, I'm walking through the store or the mall, things like that. It's just part of my life and it's part of your life too. And that's the one thing I think we can give to listeners is, it's not comfortable, but once you get in the groove, you don't want to get out of the groove. And the health benefits are so great. I just encourage people to get over that hump.
100%. And the other thing too, for me, I guess I could be a different type of person, but let's face it. If you started out in a sedentary lifestyle and you're diagnosed, I am not telling you now you need to go run a marathon.
And that's a mistake too.
No, this isn't how it works.
I know I did that too. You get out there and you go, and then you're so tired after 3 or 4 days, you don't want to do it anymore. Then you skip a day. Bad habits happen. If it took you a long time to get in that groove, it'll take you a long time to get out of it.
Exactly. And so that's why I say baby steps. Start by 5 minutes a day. Walk up and down your stairs twice. Go to the mailbox. Put on a leash on your dog and take the dog for a walk. But do it consistently every day and try to do a little bit after each meal. 5 minutes each meal. It counts. And the more that you do it, then you get stronger. And you're like, ooh, maybe I can add 10 minutes. Maybe I can do a little bit more. And then once you get into the groove, and before you know it, you're walking a half an hour a day. But give yourself some time. It's not a race. We're not asking you to climb mountains. We just start a little bit. That way you won't get burnt out and you won't feel discouraged.
Now, you bring up an interesting point to talk walking, short walks after the meals. And I know there has been studies done that it helps keep your blood sugar stable. It's all good in that. What if people can't do that? I mean, to me, you live in a climate, as do I, where weather is an issue. And I think sometimes you have to make it happen. It has to be a priority. Now, I don't know about you, but in the winter months, I will walk in, and I'm probably too cheap to join a gym, but I am. But I go to, big grocery stores. There are places to get it done if you really want to. What are your secrets to doing it in inclement weather? Because that's the last thing you want to do is not go because of outside circumstances. You got to do it every day.
I tout this till the day I die. It's something called Walk at Home, and they are walking DVDs. And Leslie Sansone started it back in the 80s. She's retired, but it's still going on. They're DVDs, 1 mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, up to 5 miles. Pop in the DVD, do 15 minutes.
You just stand in front of the TV and like walk?
Stand right in front of the TV, march in place. And then there's very simple movements that you can do. I do that. I recommend it highly. I supplement this along with walking outdoors in the summer or spring. I love walking outdoors, but this keeps you consistent. And she's on YouTube. She has a Walk at Home app. It's amazing. She saved me. It's called Walk at Home. You've got to try it. And you can use bands. You don't have to. It's very flexible. You can make it your own workout. But as long as you stay to the beat, then that's the goal. Staying to the beat of the music, just walking in place.
If you had to give advice, because I know we get a lot of new people that are diagnosed listen to JMT, and I'm very grateful for all our listeners, but especially the new ones, because like you said, you and I, in our diagnosis, I was diagnosed in 2011, and I was just all alone, and it's scary and overwhelming and all those things. So hopefully we're just putting some tips out. So what tip would you give to somebody that's newly diagnosed with type 1 or type 2 that they can have some hope?
My tips are this. Please make sure you test your blood sugar 2 hours after each meal and keep a logbook. And this is the only way you're going to know, because it's trial and error now, what foods affect your blood sugar. What foods can you eat? What foods show them, spike them? This is the only way you're going to know. Every diabetic is different. So some can have grain, some cannot. It all depends on your body's way of using the nutrients and the resistance. It's insulin resistance. So we're trying to get the cells to clear to get the glucose in. So we're trying to find foods that will allow the glucose to get in for energy. So the seed oils, the white grains, the processed stuff, that's the stuff that causes insulin resistance. So test, please test. Also, I'm telling you, drink half your weight in water. If you weigh 150 pounds, drink 75 ounces.
So you should slosh when you walk, pretty much.
Yeah, you really do, because it's true. Hydration will slide glucose into cells. It's just, and it breaks up the insulin. So try to get that water in you and move after each meal.
Shake, 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 shake your booty, as Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Those are the only tips I can give you.
Donna, those are great tips.
Test, water, and workout.
Donna Cross is our guest. Thanks. The time flies by, as it always does. And we love Sammy. We appreciate her. She'll be back soon. But right now, this is a type 2 episode. So tell your friends that are type 2s. If you are a type 1, hopefully you learned something. And we wish you all the best in your journey as well. Donna, how can people get a hold of you?
I have a little link tree. It's linktree.com/remote-reiki with Donna Cross. You know, and then it has kind of all my information, my phone number, my email, all of that stuff. But I also am a Reiki practitioner, and I specifically help people with diabetes with Reiki. And it's a supplemental holistic therapy that works with conventional medicine to get you relaxed, alleviates pain, allows you to cope with diabetes burnout. It's a wonderful therapy. So it's a linktree.com/remote-reiki with Donna Cross.
I'm going to give you a double, triple thumbs up. If I had three thumbs, I'd give it. I took Donna's Reiki sessions and they were absolutely fantastic. Donna is passionate about what she does. She's a wonderful person. I'm so delighted that we got a chance to have you back on again. Go back and listen to Donna's other episode on JMT in the past episodes. And Donna, hopefully we'll have you on again. Reiki is a whole other episode in itself, among other things. You're a great person and you're out there slugging. We really appreciate you. You're an inspiration to me and I know our listeners too. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll have you again. Sammy is on assignment. She'll be back soon. JMT, justmytypepodcast.com to get it all done. My name is Dobie Maxwell. Closing out this episode. Thank you for listening. We will talk at you again soon.
This is the Just My Type Podcast.